Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 28. Evam jana ninapatam prapabhavahi kupe kama vikamam anuyak prapatan prasangat. Kritva masat surasidnya bhagavan grihitaha. Soham katam nuvisrije tava britya sevam. Evam, thus, janam, people in general. Nipatitam, fallen. Prabhava, of material existence. Ahikupe, in a blind well full of snakes. Kama adikamam, desiring the sense objects. Anu, following. Ya, the person who. Prapatan, falling down in this condition. Prasangat, because of bad association or increased association with material desires. Kritva atmasat, causing me to acquire material qualities like himself, Shri Narada. Sura Rishina, by the great saintly person, Narada. Bhagavan, oh my Lord. Grihita, accepted. Sa, that person. Aham, I. Katam, how. Nu, indeed. Visrije, can give up. Tava, your. Brityasevam, the service of your pure devotee. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Prabhupada, as will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant, Narada Muni. This is a symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. It is not the principle for a Vaishnava. Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandera Sharana Sevi Bhakti Sanivas Janme Janme Hai E Abhilas. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. This is the process of approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master. And then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First, one should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master, and when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore, he said, soham katam nu visrije tavabritya sevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master, who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Evam jana nitapatam pravavaha kupe pravahi kupe kama bikamam anuyak pratipana saprasangad kritvatma sat surasina bhagavan krihita soham katam nu visrije tava britya sevam. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? The message in this purport is quite simple, that one should serve the spiritual master. Now, the question is, who is the spiritual master? Here we find Prahlad Maharaj. He's asking for service for his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Now, there was no official initiation between Prahlad Maharaj and Narada Muni. It wasn't that Narada Muni made a fire sacrifice and Prahlad Maharaj from the womb of his mother threw in the grains. And he got the name Prahlad Maharaj. The initiation was by hearing. Actually, that's actual initiation. The other things are formalities meant to help us hear better. Now, of course, we may think we're already hearing, but if we heard, then we wouldn't be in Maya. Because we're in Maya, that's proof that we can't hear. We can hear, but we don't hear correctly, that's all. We don't, because if we heard correctly, then we'd see correctly. And if we saw correctly, then we'd act correctly. And if we acted correctly, we'd have realized knowledge. Therefore, unless we realize, at least, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate, there's some improvement we need for our hearing. Unless we realize that we're not this body, that we're eternal, that Paramatma is all-pervading, including within our heart, and that the ultimate goal of life is Bhagavan or Krishna, it means we haven't heard. And hearing implies we've accepted. You can't hear something you don't accept. If someone says that I want you to give me all your money immediately, everything you have, we wouldn't listen to them. Which means that we don't hear them because we don't accept what they're saying. Now, if they said, well, because I want to give you 5 million euros in exchange, then we say, oh, now I can hear. Now I can accept. So, shushusho shadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi. So the verse is shushusho. Su means very nicely. Actually means open. It means open to hearing. But shushusho means open to hearing with the idea of doing something. If we hear and we have no intention to do anything, then not only we haven't heard, but we're going to forget about what we just heard immediately. Now we actually have a real interest in what we're hearing. We're inquisitive. we really want to find out how to go back to the spiritual world and become full of bliss, knowledge eternally, and we're really anxious, and someone says you do A, you B, you do C, then we're probably going to run out and try and do A at least. If we can remember what B and C is, we'll probably do that too. Because we really want to do it. Just like we want to bake a cake, then we saw some cake in a recipe book, and we really want to bake that cake, then we're going to study the recipe quite carefully and follow its directions. Now, if we don't follow the directions, we just want to get a cake like it says the picture is, and we don't follow the directions, you're not going to get a cake like the picture shows. You'll get something, but probably no one's going to want to eat it, including you. Therefore, the bona fide spiritual master is one who knows something about Krishna. Now, actually, there are two kinds of spiritual masters, as probably relates. One who's actually in transcendence and sees everything objectively. What does objectively mean? That when he reads the Bhagavad Gita, that's how he sees everything he sees, according to what it says in the Bhagavad Gita. There's no difference between what he reads and what he sees. Now, if we read Bhagavad Gita and Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Svapake Cha Pandita Samadarshanha, that the learned and gentle Brahman, the learned sages by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog, the elephant, and the dog eater, then do we really see that way? Honestly, do we actually see all living entities, the soul within the body of every living entity, and we don't at all identify with the gross and subtle bodies of these living entities? Is that the way we see things? Now we say, yeah, of course that's why, because I'm a devotee. I'm living in the temple and I shave my head and I have tilak. I must see things like that. Well, good luck. There is a process. So Krishna just doesn't put into the Bhagavad Gita, Vidya Vinaya, you know, dress in a dhoti, live in a temple, put on tilak, and here is what you see. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmi Gavihasana. That would be very nice. And also you have to take this little pill. We won't tell you what's in the pill. No, Krishna doesn't tell us to take any pill. Nor does he tell us that we're going to see immediately all living entities on the same level. We're going to come to the spiritual level of consciousness, the beginning level. Now before that he says, Tad buddhiyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayanaha, gajatnya punar avritim, jnana nirdu takamushaha. If you want to see what the verse is, it's 5:17. Tad buddhiyas, Owen's intelligence. Tad atmanas, one's faith. Atmanas. Or it could be also one's mind. Tad buddhiyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtau, that's faith. Tad nishtat, tat parayanaha, one's refuge, are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. In other words, in order to see like that, we have to follow the process of putting our mind, our intelligence, our faith, our refuge completely in Krishna. Good, but how are we going to do that? Sounds easy. Yeah, today I'm just going to put my intelligence in Krishna. We don't even know where our intelligence is most of the time, but to speak of putting it in Krishna. Or what to speak of our mind. Right now, if I asked everyone in the room here, what are you thinking about? We see a couple asleep. They're dreaming, hopefully of Krishna. And others, you know, are we actually seeing the four-armed form or the two-armed form of Vishnu and his pastimes in our heart right now? Where is our minds? Is it fully fixed in Krishna? What about even our intelligence? Are we seeing everyone and everyone here, everything here in relation to Krishna? Every time we twirl one of those ghee wicks, are we in ecstasy, thinking it's Krishna's energy? So let's back up one again, because Krishna is saying sequentially. So then there's 16. Yanena tutar agyanam ne yesha nashitam atmanaha teshama ditivad gyanam prakashiti tatpuram. Is that right? When, however, that when one is enlightened by the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So now we're hearing about knowledge. We're supposed to get knowledge. And if we get that knowledge in our heart, if we get that awareness, that consciousness, then everything will be seen properly. Now we have to back up a little bit here. Because where do we get the knowledge? So will Krishna tell us in the next verse, in the previous verse, does he tell us where the knowledge comes from? No. But he does give us some indication. There's progression. So Krishna says in the previous verse, Nadate kasichet papam, na papam sukritim vibhum, agyane navritam jnana, tena munyanti jantava. When, however, the Supreme Lord, however, does not accept anyone's sinful or pious activities. The embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the nations which covers their real knowledge. Is that a good translation? In other words, everything depends on desire. If we're thinking about Krishna, then we make progress in Krishna consciousness. Well, that's doable. We could think about Krishna. That's why the class is here. That's why we keep on saying Krishna. That's why in Prabhupada's verse, in purpose, he keeps on saying Krishna. If you look in 1865, the word that he says the most is Krishna. Krishna. Yes, see? We memorized part of the sloka. So if we dovetail our desires with Krishna's desires, then we make progress. Otherwise, Krishna will take us on a ride through the modes of material nature according to what we're desiring. We're desiring, Krishna allows, he makes the arrangement to fulfill our desire, either spiritually or materially. All right, so why should I desire Krishna? What is the reason? The kartvivam the karmani, lokasi sadrishti prabhu, the karma pala samyoga, svabhavasya pravartate. The embodied soul does not create activities, nor does he induce others to act, nor does he create the fruits of the activity. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. So this is attacking our false ego. If we want to guard our false ego, don't listen to the verse, because your false ego will become very upset that we're not doing anything. All the things we're thinking we're taking credit for, forget it. It's all being done by either the spiritual energy or the material energy, but the soul is either doing not anything nor is he entangled, really. But he's desiring, and that's why he gets into trouble. So we have to back up one verse more. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyasti sukhamvasi naiva dvare pare dehi naiva kuravana karyam. The embodied soul, master of the city of his body, does not create activities. The embodied soul, master of the city of his body. Something about renunciation is next. Renouncing all the fruits of his activity does not become any the doer, nor is he subject to the reactions as results of his work. His nature and complete, I mean, that's all activity. He is simply in the city of nine gates, neither acting nor causing anything to act. Neither doing anything nor, what's that?
Neither working nor causing
work to be done. So we have to become situated in ourselves, that I'm a spiritual soul, I'm not doing anything, I'm not really causing things to be done. But I'm going to have to act. Now I have the choice. If I act in Krishna consciousness, then I'll make spiritual progress. And if I act according to the modes of material nature, then I may make material progress towards the mode of goodness or a higher modes of goodness, or I may go down to hell. Most people are not being trained up to go to the heavenly planets. They're being trained up to go to hell. But sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukhamvasi naiva dvare pare dehi naiva kuravandakaryan. When the embodied soul masters the city of his body, renounces all activities, is that right? Mentally renounces all activities. He neither sarva karmani manasa. So that's sarva karmani sanyasaste sukhamvasi. The embodied soul, master of the city of his body, is that he's the master, it says? Controls his nature. There's all activities. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasaste sukhamvasi. Actually, the word vasi means the control. Control is nature. Yeah, that the previous translation was master of the city of his body. That's right. But here they just changed it. Controlling his nature. Same thing. Different. Decided to change the words, so. neither acts nor causing action to be done. Renouncing the results. In other words, we should not think about the future. Of course, we have to plan sometimes. That's also an activity, planning for how we're going to serve Krishna. But not be in anxiety. What's going to happen? We know what's going to happen. We're going to die pretty soon. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen. It's sure to happen. We're going to grow old. We're going to become diseased. And we're going to die. So there's no need to worry about it because it's not going to happen to us. In the meantime, make the best use of the bad bargain and utilize this opportunity to serve Krishna. So we mentally renounce the results of activities, control our nature. Control our nature means our senses want to, for instance, we're sitting down to eat prasadam, and our senses say, you know, just one more. And the mind says, yeah, I agree with the senses entirely. You must get one more. If you don't get one more, I'll be very sad and disappointed. I'm going to complain the whole day to you that you didn't serve me. I'm not going to give you any peace. Okay, I'll serve you. Oh, I ate too much. Oh, I'm sorry, you know. I also feel bad now. No, we have to control our nature. We have to see what body we have and then act accordingly. With intelligence. And renounce the results of activities. Not that I'm doing so much and I deserve so much. As Prahlad Maharaj, he doesn't want any benediction. He just wants to serve his spiritual master who gave him the instructions how to serve Krishna. Now we can go back one more verse again. How do we mentally renounce all activities and control our nature and live happily in the city of nine gates, neither working nor causing work to be done? So the previous verse is, what does it start? Yukta karma palam tyakva shanti matno tunayashikim ayukta karma karena pali sakti navajite. So the first word is yukta karma palam tyakva. Renouncing the results of his work. Yukta karma palam tyakva shanti matno. He becomes real peace. But when he becomes attached to the results of his work, he becomes not very peaceful, becomes unhappy, I guess, entangled. In other words, the whole idea is that we're not the proprietors of this world. So if we think I'm the proprietor, and therefore, or I want to become more of a proprietor, then we'll be in Maya. And if we think everything here belongs to Krishna, I must do something with my present energies to serve Krishna, then yukta karma palam tyaktva shanti matnauti nai, then we'll be peaceful. Otherwise, we'll think we're this body and we'll become entangled in the results of our work. Now we'll back up one more verse because we've gone from, 15 to 14 to 13, that's 12. So now we're in 11. How does 11 start? Kayena manasa buddhya kevala indriyanapi yogina karma korvanti sangam tyagdvatma shudaya. Kayena manasa. Kayena means the body. Manasa means the mind. Kayena manasa buddhya, the intelligence. One's faith, refuge, and intelligence are... let's see. Kayena manasa buddhya. The yogi, he's... utilizes completely his body, mind, and words only in the service of Krishna. Kayena manasa buddhya kevala indriyarapi yogina karma korvanti sangam tyagvatma shudaya. And he becomes purified by such activities. Shudaya. So in other words, that's what we're trying to do. We may not be completely fixed in trying to become Krishna conscious, but we're trying to use our body to some degree, our mind, and our intelligence, some degree in Krishna's service, and that way we're gradually becoming purified. And the 10 is, what is 10? How does that start? Pramani daya karmani sangam tyaktva vishudaya kroti va liptitaya sa sabhapena padma patra mivambasa. Rama, the something about the lotus leaf is untouched by water. That one who engages in devotional service, renounces the results of activity, is not affected by sinful actions, just like the lotus leaf is untouched by water. Brahman yari karmani sangam tyaktva karotiya lipyate nasapa pena padma patrami vambasa. In other words, whether we know it or not, as soon as we become thinking ourselves independently, as soon as we forget what Krishna and his representatives want us to do, then immediately become entangled. But one who's actually acting under Krishna and his representatives' directions, whatever he's doing, he won't be affected by the reactions. If he's actually doing it, following the process of accepting how everything here is meant for Krishna's service and finding out what Krishna actually wants us to do. And the verse before that is interesting also. Naiva kinchit karomiti yuktamanyate tatvavet pashan srimvan srishan jigran ashnanga chansvapan svasan pralapind vishijan grinanu mishani minashan api indriyandiyarte shu vartanta iti daryan. That naiva kinchit karomiti, at no time am I doing anything. Naiva kinchit karomiti. What's the first word of the translation? A person of the divine consciousness, while engaged in seeing and smell and hearing and smelling and while breathing and sleeping, always knows within himself that he does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, and receiving and opening and closing his eyes, he knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. So that we have to accept that actually we're not the doer, we're not doing anything. We're simply sitting there. And we have the capacity to desire. Now, the previous verse to that is something about yoga yukta vishudatma vijitatma jitendriya sarabhutatma bhutatma kurvan napni lipyate. Now, one who works in devotion, who's a pure soul, controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. Though he's working, such a person is never entangled. So that's what we have to do. We have to follow the example of pure souls who are yukta karma, who engage in devotional service. Yukta karma pulam tyaktva shanti matnoti na kami ayukta karma karena pali sakti nivajita. Yoga yukta vishudatma, one who is actually engaged in Krishna service, who is purified. Yoga yukta vishudatma vijitatma vijitendriya, who is actually fully engaged in Krishna service. Yoga yukta vishudatma vijitatma vijitatma sarva bhutatma bhutatma, and sees all living entities as Krishna's eternal servants. Korva napni lipite, he's not entangled while he's doing work. And the verse before that is probably Sankhi Yoga Pritag Balava Pravidanti Nipandita. We're getting to those verses. What's that? Sanyasus to Mahabaho, dukham aptama yogata, yoga yukta vishudatma, yoga yukta nacharena digachete. Translation? Cannot make one happy. So we're just, that's starting from karma yoga, doing some activity for Krishna and not thinking ourselves, worrying about the result, that we must enjoy the result. We should worry about the result. Now we do anything for Krishna and good luck, Krishna. No, we shouldn't worry about our enjoying the result. That we shouldn't be, you know, anxious to get praise for it. We shouldn't be anxious if it's going to be successful, if I'm going to gain something for it. No, we should do it for Krishna and thinking Krishna will gain. Krishna should be glorified. And then the previous verses to those must go into yat sankhyas prapyate stanam tad yogapi gamyate ekam samkhyam ki yogam cha yat pashyati sapashyati and sankhya yoga vita bhava pravadanti nibandita ekam apyasita samyag ubaya virate suam. That all in the ignorant speak of karma yoga as being different from Sankhya Yoga, that one who knows it, only the ignorant speak of Sankhya Yoga as being different from Karma Yoga. One who knows the aim of one, of both, achieves something about both. What is the translation? Well, to one of these paths achieves the results of both. Only the ignorant speak of Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga as being different. One who is learned knows that he applies himself well to one of these, achieves the result of both. In other words, by the analytical study of the material world, then one realizes I'm eternal. And after we realize we're eternal, then we can engage in Krishna's service. So both of them lead to knowledge of eternality, but only devotional service brings us into Krishna directly. And then Arjuna, so we're at 5 and 6, is that right? 4 and 5. 4 and 5, is that right? And then 3 is Sanyasi Yog No Dvaishti Nakangshati Nirdvandvo Hi Mahabaho Sukambanda Pramuchate. Something about he neither hates nor desires the results of activities, is free from, what is that? Free from what? Dualities. And is never entangled, something like that. And it's completely liberated. So this is all in regard to Arjuna's asking originally the question, which is better, devotional service or Sankhya Yoga, analytical study? And then Krishna goes over the whole elaborate. I think the first verse is Karmanamana. What's the first verse? Sanyasa Karma Yoga Scha Nishirasa Karavavo Tayustu Karma Sanyasa Karma Yoga Vishishite. And then Krishna says that both Karma Yoga Vishenir, is that the V? No, that's the third chapter. What's the next verse? Yat Sankhya Prapite Stanam Tad Yoga Apikamyate Ekam Sakyam Yogam Cha Yakpashiti Sapashiti. That's not right. Yat Sankhya Prapite. No. Sanyasa karma yogascha nishirasa karavavo sayastu karma sanyasya karma yoga vishishyate. That both devotional service and Sankhya Yoga are good for liberation, but of the two, devotional service is better. And then the whole thing goes. In other words, we're doing devotional service, but there has to be some consciousness to it also. We should be doing it as the sequence is there. Renounce, understand that we're not the doer, that we're souls. We should be doing it to please Krishna under the direction of Krishna's representatives. Then the result is, preliminarily, when we is that we'll see everyone as Krishna's eternal servant. We'll see everything in relation to Krishna. But it doesn't end there. Even in the 5:18, Krishna goes on to, he goes through Brahman realization, then he goes into Paramatma realization, then he goes into Bhagavan realization, and then he goes into full consciousness of Krishna. As Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the controller, Krishna is the friend of everyone.
Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Prabhupada said, learn Bhagavad Gita very thoroughly.
That's was
example. Yes. Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. Yeah, in this verse I see that it's example how we have to serve the spiritual master, not Krishna directly. But I never heard till now that Prahlad Maharaj is so fond and associated with material wishes and so fond. It means previous life. In this life, when
you're talking about falling down to the material desires?
Yeah.
Well, the great devotees are always humble. They're always thinking they're in Maya. And trying to, because that way they have some impetus to take shelter of Krishna. Ah. So the great devotees think they're the most fallen. Mm-hmm. And the people who are neophytes, they think they're great devotees. That's the difference between a great devotee and a neophyte. So we think we're very advanced in devotional service. We have a long ways to go.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you mentioned two types of gurus. One is on transcendental level, sees as Krishna is seeing, but didn't then, maybe I...
Everyone else is relative. It's called subjective.
The second type of
second
guru.
Second type is subjective. Now, there are two kinds of subjective gurus. One subjective guru is one who follows everyone, the orders of the spiritual master strictly, and they're on the liberated platform. Those two types of gurus are eligible to give initiation because they're actually on the platform. Both of them are on the platform of Guru Ashraya. Unless one is liberated, one cannot be a Guru Ashraya because one is unsteady themselves. How can one unflinchingly, without hesitation, serve someone if they're not on the liberated platform? Because now there's another type of guru, they may be also subjective. In other words, but they have experience. They follow the process more than I have, and therefore I can see that they're more enthusiastic, more steady in their service. So they can also be a kind of guru. If we take initiation from them, we should know, or at least someone should know, what kind of guru we're taking initiation from. And if we take shelter of someone like that, then we should know the limitations of taking shelter of them. In any case, the minimum qualification is for Guru Ashraya, it's completely liberated from all material affection. Or these on the platform, one is not influenced by material affection, nishta. Otherwise, there's no question of ashraya if one is not nishta. Now, initiation is meant for, especially in our society, where we go through the process of initiation, it's especially meant to develop an attitude of service. Unless the guru is seen as the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then how are we going to envision that by serving the Guru, we're serving Krishna? We think there's some difference between them in terms of what the Guru is desiring and what Krishna desires. We think there's some difference, and it's useless to take initiation because we'll be hesitant. We will doubt what the Guru is saying is an actual representative of Krishna. And therefore, the attitude of service, the guru will be lost, and the attitude to approach the Krishna will be lost. Therefore, the guru has to have the same desires as Krishna in order to actually be properly acting as guru. In any case, that's why we have a society where supposedly our initiating gurus, whether they're Mahabhagavats or Madhyamadikaris and Kanesadikaris, they're not supposed to be directing the society. Society is supposed to be directed by a GBC, which is supposed to figure out what Prabhupada wanted the society, namely make the plans to spread Krishna consciousness and create the cultural revolution that Prabhupada talked about, and bring up people's character from neophyte to perfection. That's what the GBC is supposed to make plans for, and the authorities. And the gurus are supposed to assist by giving enlightenment to their disciples how to practically make progress in Krishna consciousness in the society, this preaching society. Otherwise, we have so many gurus with so many different ideas, and then we're just going to have confusion. So there has to be someone who makes the plans, whatever, how everyone's supposed to be engaged, and how everyone should be seeing things from Prabhupada's books. Then we can have unity and diversity. Otherwise, we'll have confusion. Now, if we actually have Mahabhagavats in our society, then they're going to be able to encourage and give the vision that Prabhupada and Krishna and our disciples' succession is given, so that we all cooperate very nicely with each other to spread Krishna consciousness, which is all we can do right now. We're not going to walk in a room and people are just going to roll on the ground in ecstasy. We have to actually make a plan for systematically spreading Krishna consciousness, and to the best of our ability and purity, influence people to take up the process and become Krishna conscious themselves. Anything else? Thank you very much. Congratulations, Bhagavatam Ki Jai.